in 5881, transformation is not possible without turmoil. It's just, it's what it is. You know, you can't do a lot about it, but you buy into this work. This is part of it. So it's whatever the dominant love is that organizes facts into a form that basically supports it. And so we see the anxiety that can arise through this process. I mean, we've all experienced it, I'm sure. The struggle is not just because, you know, I'm unwilling to change. I mean, there's elements of that, of course. We want things just to, you know, why bring more stress into my life kind of stuff. It's just that kind of natural level that kind of works at that level. But these bundles of facts and what it's talking about there, these are societies of spirits. They're not just like cold, raw facts. They're actually spiritual associates. And so for any change to take place, they have to undergo change as well. And so it's a very complicated enmeshment, if you like, of structures and forms of mind. And it's really, really complex. So the change isn't just happening for you. It's happening for all those societies that you are associated with, all the spirits that you're associated with, which effectively is the whole, it's the whole thing. Like, reminded of that number that talks about the fact that for one truth to be integrated into the mind requires the reorganization of the whole of the heavens, so or of the spiritual world, in fact. And so for those shifts to happen, you can just see how awesome or wonderfully made we are in terms of the way all of that plays into little itty-bitty me having a sense of self. It's a massive, complex thing. And the shifts and changes and the struggle to embrace things, it all involves just incremental tweaks to where our affections lie until things can be put into a form whereby often what we'll then experience a tipping point where there's suddenly this reorganization takes place. But no reorganization takes place in a moment. It may feel like it when we hit the wall or when things suddenly just turn into chaos, or it may feel like it's just all hit me then and there, but actually the Lord has gone and prepared the way. It's all being prepared before those major shifts and changes happen in terms of our own states and life. It's big stuff. And of course, only the Lord can manage that. We have no control, despite the appearances. And that is all we can do, is just be in the work of preparation. We can't make anything happen through our effort. So in Loga Praxis, we have an aphorism, which is, through our effort, we can't achieve anything, but nothing is achieved without effort. Spiritual work requires conscious effort. We're just not aware by kind of osmosis. And I think that's a mark of the fact that rationality and freedom is involved in spiritual work. And really, true rationality and freedom is only found in spiritual work. So freedom is found in self-compulsion when we are working from our understanding of the word. So freedom at this level of life, where our work is concerned, is the ability to go against our natural inclinations. We have to bring awareness to these things. You know, what's offered on the natural level of life, it's a representative plane, and it offers on every hand insights into spiritual realities, the Lord's work in that, and ultimately it's the story of being brought back into connection with the Lord. And it involves self-compulsion. That is what freedom is, spiritually speaking, at least at this level of life. We have to compel ourselves. So the word presents us in no uncertain terms with what the natural is in its disordered state. And that's what we get to see. We get to see the disorder, not to condemn us and not for us to make a judgment about our spiritual life, but so that we can respond in a way whereby the natural can be reformed and brought into a form whereby what is more interior can be held on that more exterior level. So that's what spiritual work is about in a nutshell. That's what it is.